Joined now by Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Callahan 24/7. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Good. Now you, your title, you are the recruiting coordinator or director for GoVols 24/7. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to let you know. I just want to let you know there's a fifth grade over here at Grassland Middle School that that you need to be start to follow. Okay, just let you know, man. He may commit today.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for that one. I mean, I can't rule out that some people have been, you know, scanning area crosswalks looking for someone who can run a fast 10-yard dash. But I don't think. I don't know if any fifth grade commitments are imminent just yet, but, you know, that's probably at some point down the road.
Well, of course, Tony Mitchell, kid out of Alabaster, Alabama, has not enrolled in high school yet. He'll be going to Thompson High School, committed to Tennessee. Now, it doesn't sound right, but anyway, but then you're looking at, he's got offers from Georgia, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, West Virginia, on and on. And so this is the game that's being played today, right? As distasteful as it might sound, that you get a commitment, you offer and get a commitment for a kid that's not even in high school yet.
Yeah, I mean, I know the reaction to it is mostly just people rolling their eyes and saying, why are coaches offering a player like that, or why would they take his commitment? I think the better question, probably the way coaches look at it, is why not? There's never really any bad perception, aside from people maybe thinking it's silly, that comes with getting a commitment, especially from a guy who has other major offers. And from what I was told, you know, if he had tried to commit to, say, Georgia a couple weeks ago or something, I was told Georgia probably would have taken him. You know, he's definitely a player a lot of people like, and has great size for a guy just now going into high school. So you don't know what he's going to develop into over the next few years, and that's maybe the argument against it. But whatever he's going to develop into, I think he's going to be a good football player. So the reason to do it is it's never a bad thing for perception to get a commitment. And on the off chance he actually sticks with your school for 4 years and signs with you, that's obviously a good thing if you think he's a good player. So, it's one of those things you're going to take it for what it is and check back in a couple of years to see if he's still serious about it. But for now, yeah, I don't see much downside to it. And the reality is, with, you know, schools offering players that early, if you're not taking commitments like that, if you're not handing out offers that early, other competitors are maybe beating you to the punch, and it might cost you a good player down the road.
You know, and that's the thing, Ross and Greg, we're middle June, we're talking about Tennessee football because of this eighth grade commitment.
Yep, that's always the reality is, any press is good press in recruiting when it comes to getting commitments. And with a player like this too, you're getting a good player out of the state of Alabama, or getting a commitment from a good player out of the state of Alabama. It shows, you know, this staff has a lot of ties in Alabama, and you're trying to build some inroads there. I think this shows that the relationships Jeremy Pruitt and some of the assistant coaches on his staff have in that state really are going to get them somewhere in the long run. It's going to be hard always to beat out Alabama and Auburn for the top players in that state, but this is a nice start, and I think shows that some of those relationships they have there are meaningful enough that they can produce some wins in recruiting, and that's a big step toward what Tennessee needs. They need to start being able to go into Alabama and Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and win more of those battles they used to win when they were at their best, and they started to do that, and this is another good sign that in the future they can do even more.
Yeah, how many times have you talked to guys who've committed to Tennessee, end up at Tennessee, who said, you know, you ask, why are you here? And like, well, from the beginning, Tennessee was on me. I mean, they're the ones that offered me first and kept in contact with me. I see the benefit of doing this.
And that's the other thing, too. When you're a program like Tennessee that has fallen on harder times over the last decade, the reality is you do have to try a little bit harder than some of the other teams out there. You can't wait until a player's senior year to offer a guy and jump in late, like, say, an Alabama or a Clemson might be able to afford to do right now, because you're not one of the hot teams out there. You just won 5 games last season, so you do have to do everything you can to maximize your value, and one of those things is being one of the first to offer a lot of kids. That doesn't mean you throw out offers left and right, just like they're meaningless. You'll make them meaningless if that's the case, but you do have to get in early on the players that you think you're going to be serious about, and that's the reason you offer a kid like that when he's in eighth grade. And that's why when a kid who's already 6'1" or so and 180 pounds wants to commit and you think he's going to turn into a good football player, you say, yeah, why not? And we'll figure it out in a couple of years if it ends up being something that they want to get out of. You know, it's a verbal commitment. At the end of the day, it's not something binding. It's pretty decent publicity, and at the same time, not something they're backing themselves into a corner with by taking a kid that young.
What about, though, when he walks on campus, he's a freshman and he's a UT commit? Hey, you think he's going to get some attention from his classmates and everything? It's an interesting dynamic. Your first day of high school, you've already committed to your college. But anyway, what the heck? Well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it is. And the other interesting thing about that for a player, I think a lot of times, you know, even for sophomores, juniors, seniors, you get a target on your back when you play against other teams. When you're committed to a big time school, it makes life harder for you, I think, as a freshman. You know, trash talk and things like that. Players like to try to get in each other's heads about those things. And you know, I'm sure, if he makes a bad play, you know, an opposing player might say, "You're committed to Tennessee. I don't see how." You know, stuff like that. So it does put a little bit more of a target on your back and brings more attention. There's some good, but there's some bad with it too. And it will make high school much more interesting for him arriving as an SEC commitment already.
Ryan Callahan at Ryan Callahan 24/7, GoVols 24/7, at .com to get to that website as well, and then follow that way at Twitter. All right, let's talk about some commitments who are shaving, okay? Antonio Johnson, 4-star safety out of East St. Louis, big pickup.
Yeah, this is a really big pickup, and one that came as a bit of a surprise for Tennessee, and I think a lot of people didn't really believe they were as heavily in that one as they probably were. And it was the first time he'd visited Tennessee when he was on campus Friday, so that's the other reason I think it sort of came as a surprise. But you know, sometimes the fit just seems right. In his case, one of his teammates also committed to Tennessee that day, Javontez Spraggins, a 3-star offensive lineman, and in this case, you know, Johnson looks like the bigger prize there, but I think Tennessee liked what it saw from Spraggins at its camp on Friday. So a couple nice pickups out of an area that Tennessee doesn't traditionally recruit that heavily. But T. Martin is a guy on Tennessee's staff that has some good relationships in that area, has recruited before. He got a Dory Jackson out of there during his time at USC. So that certainly didn't hurt. And then Tennessee, you know, doing a nice job of getting them on campus and getting them to camp. And this is that time of year. You want to see players perform at your camp. Both of those guys impressed Tennessee's coaches. Johnson was a big-time player they'd already been recruiting, but to get both of those guys and you know, have a better chance of holding on to them probably because they have both teammates committed right now, that's a nice couple of additions with Johnson obviously being the headliner.
Is the camp – are camps over for Pruitt? Are they done for the season?
Not at all. They've got a couple more weeks of them. They've got a pretty heavy camp schedule this year. They start on May 31st, and they're doing about three a week. This week they'll do it again Thursday through Saturday, one each day, and then next week another one on Saturday the 22nd. So it's kind of the 1 month where you really get to do all this, and summer visits are limited now because you've got a month-long dead period that starts June 24th. And Tennessee's really trying to make the most of these first few weeks of the month by having a good number of camps and trying to get a lot of guys on campus for them.
I'm reading somewhere somebody saying about if you don't come to camp, Pruitt doesn't offer you. Is that accurate?
That's not accurate. I mean, obviously Tennessee, actually they're one of the nation's leaders, if not the leader, in scholarship offers out there in the 2020 class. They've been up there for years, going back to through the Butch Jones era. And that's been no different so far under Jeremy Pruitt. The staff's been pretty aggressive in handing out offers. Now, in deciding whether to take a commitment from a player, a camp performance carries a lot of weight. Now, I do think there are certain positions where you ideally would like to see a player in camp before you take a commitment. For Jeremy Pruitt, that might be in the secondary because he trusts what he sees from defensive backs as a guy who has coached defensive backs for several years now. He trusts what he sees at that position. So I think ideally he would love to see most defensive backs that he takes, he would love to see them in camp. That doesn't mean you can sort of hold everyone to that standard and say you have to camp to have a committable offer from us. That's not realistic in every case. I mean, obviously they've taken commitments from guys before this summer. They had 6 commitments before this month started. So you're going to have to take some. But, yeah, that does increase your chances, and it's no mistake that you know, 7 or 8 of Tennessee's players last year were guys, commitments and signees ultimately last year were guys that Tennessee saw in camp, offered when they saw them, or sort of ramped up their pursuit of that player after they saw them in camp. So that is a big thing, and is big for all coaches, but Jeremy Pruitt definitely puts a lot of stock in it because I think he feels he knows what he sees, and I think he feels confident in his evaluations when he sees a guy in person, and head coaches really only can do that at camps in the summer.
Hey, Ryan, just hit us up with the highlights, who they're in on, who they think they can get, who they want to get, the people they've got coming in, where it is as we speak, because I think now that obviously without they're going through, this will be the third year of the early signing period. Is that right? Yeah, mm-hmm. The third year of the early signing period, and how those visits have started to come earlier in the year, earlier. Just where are they right now overall?
Yeah, you know, they're at 8 commitments right now. Again, they were at 6 going into the month. They got the 2 on Friday from the 2 kids from East St. Louis. So they're about, numbers-wise, about where they've been in the past. They just moved back into the top 25 in the team rankings with those 2 additions on Friday. So still obviously have some spots to fill, plenty of spots to fill in this class. It's likely going to be pretty close to the full class of 25 again. So you've got 15, 17 spots left to fill, and there's always going to be some turnover. So a lot they still need to add. They're waiting mostly on a lot of in-state players. Not a lot happening so far in-state in this class because a lot of guys have been waiting to make decisions. I think that's kind of the next thing to watch is, you know, they've got several important targets in-state. Which of those guys can they get? Which can they get by the end of the summer? You know, they've been after guys like Tyler Barron, defensive end in Knoxville, for a long time. Cooper Mays, offensive lineman, also right here in Knoxville. Keyshawn Lawrence, 4-star defensive back and right there in Innsworth. And then in Memphis, Amari Thomas, a 2-way lineman, top 100 player they've been recruiting for a long time. Can they get any of those guys to jump in this summer? And where do things go from there in-state? And then another big target they're after right now, Haynes King, a 4-star quarterback who's a top 50 player nationally. They already have one big-time quarterback in this class in Harrison Bailey. They want to take 2 quarterbacks, and Haynes King has sort of been their top target for a long time now. They got him on campus again over the weekend on an official visit. They look like one of the teams to beat, maybe even the favorite going into his final 2 visits to Duke and Auburn the next 2 weeks. So if they can land him, and Texas A&M's heavily involved, and this is a kid from Texas, if they can land him, that's obviously going to be another big piece that they could add this summer. So we'll see how that goes. But those are a handful of names to keep an eye on, and still plenty of others out there, obviously, with it being so early.
Ryan, one other thing, SEC meetings, it was voted on that it will be up to each school whether they sell beer, alcohol at the games in certain areas, obviously certain parameters, but it's going to be left up to each school. Auburn's already said they're not going to. Alabama said they're not going to. And when I saw where Alabama president said that they're not going to sell alcohol, I was going, well, I guarantee if I bring you enough money, you'll give me all the alcohol I want. Okay. I mean, it's so hypocritical, but that's okay. But is it? Am I hearing that Tennessee, for the 2019 football season, sort of may take a wait and see on it and not start it till 2020?
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. A couple reasons for that. One, I think there's still some action on the state legislature end that might need to happen for them to fully be cleared to do that. On a stadium-wide basis. So we'll see. You know, there was already passed that they could allow alcohol sales for non-UT athletic events that are held at Thompson Bowling Arena and at Neyland Stadium, so concerts and things like that. In the near future, you'll be able to buy beer at those. So the ball's already kind of started rolling on that, so I don't think it'll be a big issue to get it approved, but it still has to have that formality. And then also, yeah, I think Tennessee wouldn't mind sitting back and just sort of assessing this, seeing how many of their SEC peers are going to do it. I think several will this year, but it is also rushed. You know, it's June already, and you've got less than 3 months till your first home game. A lot of things that would need to fall into place to have that. You've got to have an insurance policy usually, and things like that when you're serving alcohol. You've got to line up a distributor. Lots of things to be done just on the logistics end, in addition to deciding whether it's right for your school. So I think they might wait until next year, if I had to guess, and kind of see how things go. But I think there is a good chance you'll see beer sold in Neyland Stadium probably in the not-too-distant future.
Ryan Callahan, always a pleasure. Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Ryan.